The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mokjustice Gabaza.
Good day and welcome to the Business Buzz for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on VAR FM. That's Voice of Wits, broadcasting live from our studios right here in Bramfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Mdiwa Mob Justice Kabaza and I'll be your host for today. Now, who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to keep you entertained, educated and intrigued about the world of business. Now, for today, you know, we are going to be getting into, you know, some issues around vaccination in and around South Africa. But before we get into any and all of that, we're going to be getting reflecting on some of the things that have been happening this week. And one of the big things is the fact that we have the Feast Must Fall protests continuing. It's been some time now that university students have been calling for university fees to either come down or for the government to shoulder more of the burden. This has been, you know, ongoing for a number of years now, and we see that that type of action has crept up again, especially as students are seeking to start the academic year. Well, hopefully we'll get to touch a little bit on it, but that's definitely something that's happening. Can the government come to the rescue of students? What can the government do? What can states do? And what can the private sector possibly do to support the call? We wait to see what's actually going to happen, but encouraged to say that education is necessary. Education is indeed necessary for the country to move forward economically, and private sector and public sector needs to come together. Otherwise, for today, we are going to be touching on something that is of equal national importance. And something that is affecting the whole country and not necessarily just, you know, a small pocket of everyone, and that is vaccination. And more importantly, when it comes to the economy, are workplaces going to force their people to get vaccinated? What happens in a situation where a person is not vaccinated? These are the issues that we're going to be talking about. Can employers mandate for vaccinations? What are the possible rights that people have? Are there going to be exclusions that people are actually given out there if you don't find yourself indeed vaccinated? You know, there's been some talk of late of, could we be seeing a passport of some sort that actually serves to prove that a person has been vaccinated if you want to go to, you know, certain parts of the world, if you want to be employed, you know, because some people, if you've read job requirements, sometimes it says must have a driver's license, you know. So could we see realistically a situation where it says must have a COVID-19 vaccination? If you've ever traveled to parts of the world like East Africa, Kenya in particular, you need a yellow fever vaccine to get into those parts of the world. Are these some of the things that we're going to be seeing happening in terms of the economies in and around the world? That is the discussion that we're going to be having. And to help us to unpack some of these issues, we're going to be talking to Petronella Ngobo, who is an HR practitioner and managing director at Change Managed Services, about the ethics and policies around vaccinations in the workplace. And then we'll also talk to Oritonda Rambuda, who is an attorney at Rambuda and Associates in Rudaport, around some of these issues. Otherwise, you can let us know what you think. Do you think this is where we're going, where you're going to need to be vaccinated for you to be able to have to get a job interview, to be able to work and play in the world? Follow us on Facebook. We are via FM of Voice of Wits. Our other Facebook page is Wits Radio Academy. Let's engage. Let us know what you think. At VAR FM on Twitter, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. If you're not able to catch us on terrestrial, you can stream us live. That's varfm.co.za. And remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available on wits.journalism.co.za. /business. So that's what the show is looking like for today. On the other side of this, we get into the Business Wrap. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Lebo Pasha.
In our business wrap, we look to give you the week's top trending business and economics news, and we are joined on the line by our financial expert. We have Lebo Pasha, who is the general manager at the African Management Institute. Lebo, greetings to you.
Greetings to you, Mudiwa, and the Vodafone listeners. It's been a while.
And yes, it certainly has been a while, and it's it's good to be talking once again at these times. But it's been an interesting week in the economy. You know, what do you have for us for today?
Yeah, it's been a really interesting period. We sort of wouldn't say celebrating, but we reaching the anniversary sort of date of when the lockdown was implemented in South Africa. That's fast approaching. And with that, we are starting to see a lot of the statistics coming out, telling us how bad the lockdown has been. We heard recently about the 7% decline in the economy. We've also now heard about the manufacturing data. So Definitely, the food and beverage sector has been hit quite hard with a decline of about 4.9%. So what we've been seeing out there, it's all the sectors that have been hit hard by COVID or the lockdown regulations, the petrochemical industry, rubber and plastics as well, also quite down in a big way, almost 14%.
And I guess, on that front, when it comes to the economy, because I remember a couple of weeks ago when the finance minister gave his budget speech, it sounds like there's going to be some growth. You know, are you hopeful that this is like meaningful growth that, that can actually make changes for the country? Or is this sort of us just trying to claw back and try to get back to where we were before the lockdown?
I think we're still trying to climb out of a hole. So definitely it's a big effort to try and claw back some sort of growth and recover. And because of that, I think we're going to have to really come together, that is both the private sector and the public sector, to try and really get South Africa running again, get some GDP growth going, get the economy going again, and also start creating jobs, because we've lost quite a lot of jobs throughout this period.
And then the other one, maybe just to get your sense, because I think right now it's something that everyone is grappling with at the moment. There's this fees must fall issue that's happening. It was an issue about, I think they started, if I remember correctly, 2015, 2016. It's been an issue. And now we have lockdowns. There's all of these things happening in and around the economy. What do you make of any potential progress on that front? Because if the country had been struggling to come to the aid of students over these years, what more now when the fiscus is so constrained because of the pandemic?
So yes, I think economic hardships usually precede political hardships as well. In some cases, they overlap, and I think even some of the calculations and formulas that were put out with fees must fall, of calculating who needs to get this government assistance and who is not poor enough. Even those are being impacted, because we're seeing more and more breadwinners in homes, the people producing the income, losing their jobs, and some of them getting pay cuts. So what that has meant is there's increasing pressure on multiple sectors, including education, where students can afford less. And this basically means they'll be excluded from participating in education, higher education, and also helping us in future grow the economy. So it's a big catch-22. I'm not sure how we're going to get out of it, but definitely a big catch-22.
A catch-22 for sure. Anything else catching your eye in the week?
Yeah, I think another big thing is load shedding. Our whole thing is back, but not just in South Africa. In South Africa, we've got a few issues. I think the big issue this week from Eskom was reporting a lot of poor performance from Gusile, Duba, and the Tutuza power stations, and having some breakdowns and issues there with generation. And we've depleted our emergency generation reserves, which is basically the water schemes, pumped water schemes that produce water on an emergency basis, and that means we shift into load shedding. But it's not just us. We've seen Texas as well this week plunged into a deep period of load shedding. So I think this word load shedding might start spreading globally. So they plunged into very deep load shedding, mostly blamed on frozen wind turbines because of some cold weather. But also Texas has a very deregulated power market, and this is something in South Africa we've seen a lot of people calling for. But this has meant that some of these power companies have held back on maintenance and upgrades, and this has put massive pressure on their grid.
We certainly wait to see what's actually going to happen on that front. Hopefully some type of progress can be made. The fact that load shedding has become, you know, a way of life is really not the way that things should be. So that's been it with Lebo Pasha, who is the General Manager for Southern Africa at the African Management Institute, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news in our business wrap. On the other side of this, we're going to be getting into the Buffalo Index.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
Now, it's very hard to, you know, ignore one of the big things that is happening right now, and that is FISMAS 4. So on our Buffalo Index for today, I just went out to look at what are we looking at when we say that students are calling for, you know, FISMAS 4. And according to some of the research out there from top universities, when it comes to tuition fees and living costs in South Africa, the average, you know, a bachelor's degree student is looking at around 20,000 rand, you know, for Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Commerce sort of type degrees. As you become a bit more specialized, particularly in the medical and health science fields, those amounts go up. So that's, you're looking at a cost of around 200 buffaloes. For those that decide that they're going to go to a master's level postgraduate, you're looking at an average of, that's a 25,000 to 70,000 rand, which is quite a broad range, 250 to 700 buffaloes. And then, you know, on the other side of the scale, when you look at some of the more elite qualifications out there, if you're looking at an MBA, for example, that will set you back about 1,500 buffaloes. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we get into the main topic.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. Today we are talking about you know, vaccination is one of those things that, you know, the talk of the town, the talk of the country, the talk of the world. But for professionals, for businesses, what does it actually mean for the workplace? And we are going to be talking just around vaccination policies, you know, for the workplace. What does it mean? Should you be forced? Should you do it? Should you not do it? Are companies going to mandate it? Should they not mandate it? These are, you know, questions that are likely, you know, being asked in a lot of the boardrooms in and around the country. And to help us to unpack in this first part of this show, we're going to be talking to an HR practitioner around all of what all of this means. But before that, remember that you can engage with us on Facebook. We have our FMO Voice of Wits. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Wits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz, and you can find us at Vow FM. So to get into it, we are joined on the line by Petronella Ngowo, who is a HR practitioner and managing director at Changed Managed Services. Petronella, greetings to you.
Hi, Matiwa, how are you?
No, we're doing all right on this end. You know, before we begin, you know, should we be afraid that we're all going to be made to, you know, take the vaccine in whatever form it's in? And I guess, you know, for someone like you and in your profession, what is the role of ethics, you know, for HR when it comes to, you know, what is likely a difficult question for many people and organizations to actually answer at this time?
I think firstly, maybe we should just try and understand the role of HR in an organization. It's mostly the key function of HR is to provide strategic support by managing an employee's life cycle. And by life cycle, I'm talking about the recruitment process, onboarding of new employees, etc. But in order to manage the life cycle of employees, you would have needed to have policies that govern your human resources. Ethics, therefore, are guidelines that would shape an organization's human resources, And how you do this is by having a well-documented code of conduct policy or a standard operating procedure, which speaks to ethical standards which an organization would align itself with. The fundamental reason for having a policy of such nature is purely based on providing a clear picture on behavior that's expected from employees so as to reduce possibilities of unethical behavior. So in the times that we live in, of course, many employees will be facing various arrays of challenges and pressures which may cause dilemmas of ethical behavior. To give an example of unethical behavior, which is obviously not going to be related to vaccination at this point, but just to give your listeners an understanding or an example of unethical behavior, take an employee who would do anything to get a promotion, to better their financial prospects in terms of earning a high salary, who sleeps with someone, someone in a position of authority so as to get what they want, which is a higher increase in salary. But this unethical behavior is not just isolated to the employee themselves, but also the position, the person in the position of authority who has taken advantage of the employee's need. And obviously, because people come with different backgrounds, COVID has also impacted psychologically how people function. A lot of unethical behavior could arise from all these things that are emanating around us. So HR is then perfectly placed to ensure that the foundations of ethics that are contained in the policy get reviewed in time, and then also get workshopped with employees so that they have a better understanding of ethical or ethics, our ethics in the workplace.
Okay, cool. So when it comes to, you know, some of these infectious diseases like COVID-19, the one that all of us are dealing with at the moment, what is usually the role of HR? And in that, would you say that there are prescribed ways in which, HR has to deal with things, across the board? Or do these things tend to be, I guess, company specific? And how have you dealt with it in your own company?
Okay, so generally, it's not the role of HR to handle infectious diseases. The responsibility lies within the Occupational Health and Safety Department, which would handle matters directly with the Compensation for Injuries and Disease, abbreviated as COID. So it's an act in itself where this organization or this institution is responsible for handling these infectious diseases, including COVID-19. The Act would then give guidance as to how to handle diseases or injuries in the workplace. In some organizations, you'd find that the HR's role in handling diseases of this nature, like COVID-19, would be to basically report occupationally acquired COVID-19. Under normal circumstances, the Occupational Health and Safety would report other diseases that are not related to COVID, but that happen or occur as a result of a person's work or the type of work that the person is doing. We have seen, though, with COVID that the role of HR is increasing, where they have to play a role in assisting employees from a psychological perspective in dealing with COVID-19 in the workplace, because, as you know, everybody had a fight having to go back to work. So HR's role comes in then from an employee wellness perspective to try and put systems in place that will assist employees, in having a better work environment from a cultural perspective, values and norms perspective. Our company specifically has not had any infectious cases to process or handle at this point in time, but I have been involved with organizations that have had cases of COVID-19 and provided the necessary guidelines contained in the gazettes that we've been frequently getting every time there'd be an announcement or an involvement of COVID-19. So that's basically where we are right now with HR, but I think with time, our role as HR practitioners might increase should COVID-19 stick with us.
So Petronella, you know, given some of the, I guess, legislative, you know, frameworks that you've given to us, you know, occupational health, all of that, taking maybe a step back to look at, you know, employers as a whole, is it likely or can employers insist that their people get a vaccination at the moment? Because, you know, one would think that everyone wants to get vaccinated, but for those that do decide that, no, you know, I don't yet trust what's happening with the vaccine, do you think it will, is it within the purview of employers to insist that the employees get vaccinated?
No. So look, I think COVID-19 is new to all of us globally, right? There's nothing in legislation at this point in time which implores on employees to take a vaccination for them to return to work. I don't think an employer would implement such a rule when it hasn't even been promulgated or enacted. In my opinion, although an employer who would want to enforce this vaccination on employees before coming back into the workplace, I think they'd be doing it probably from a place of care or safety for other workers, it may be seen as unjust or discriminatory to make such a single-handed rule at this juncture, especially when people are still trying to get their head around understanding of vaccination and the side effects it may have. But I think perhaps in the future, as COVID-19 evolves, if it does stay with us for some time, vaccination may be made compulsory should there be an opinion that, you know, COVID-19 will be like other pandemics like HIV/AIDS. Right now, every person who vaccinates is doing it for their safety and those around them, but it has not been made compulsory from a legislative perspective. So there's no employer at this point who I think has an obligation to themselves to enforce such a rule or insist for employees to go get vaccinated prior to returning to work.
That said, because I do understand where you're coming from, it's something new and policymakers haven't been, you know, able to really, you know, come to grips with what's going on for them to, I guess, update some of the employment legislation that's there. But, you know, one day in future, you know, where do you think HR processes are going, you know, when it comes to things like recruitment? Because, you know, maybe people might have to show proof of vaccination before, you know, when you get job requirements, sometimes they'll say that, you know, must have a driver's license and, you know, things like that. Are we likely to see a situation where it says, you know, must have COVID-19 vaccination or, you know, any other such thing, you know, going forward in future? I think these are the things that, you know, some people might be, you know, thinking about in their heads.
Yeah. Well, I think we've already started witnessing some changes in the recruitment space, and it's mostly because of the rise in job seekers since the unemployment rate spiked up due to COVID. Some organizations have had to resort to conducting virtual interviews, conducting inductions virtually. Most of the things are being done virtually by some institutions at this current moment. And I think it's proven to be a challenge for some HR practitioners and recruiters because technological advances are not the same. We may be living in this digital world, but not everybody's got access to that particular data or Wi-Fi to be able to access, for instance, the job market. So we are seeing a rise in that, and I think the changes in the future relating to recruitment may be that we may continue to conducting recruitment virtually. I think in terms of processes, they will remain the same for now in terms of how our policies are structured in conducting recruitment and selection processes. At this point, I think those will remain the same. They may change, though, like you said, when you were alluding to passport, maybe presentation to say, I have been vaccinated. I do foresee that, you know, depending on where we go to as a country or maybe globally with COVID, we may get to that point where someone has to produce that identification to show that they've been vaccinated, and policymakers, you know, in institutions would have to then include that and other policies like maybe vaccination of staff members, you know, and detailing how it should be done and what is expected from the employee and the employer side. I do see another, you know, rise in unemployment, you know, should COVID stick with us. So we almost have to kind of get on with the times and evolve because of this particular pandemic that we are faced with.
Get on with the times and evolve. That is the message coming from Petronella Ngobo, who is an HR practitioner and managing director at Changed Managed Services. And she is giving us some insight into how the HR space has been affected by COVID-19. But more importantly, you know, what is its relation to issues around vaccines? And she's saying that a lot of it will come down to what's going on, you know, at the moment, a lot of, you know, infectious diseases and things like that lie with the occupational health department. And what HR can do is to sort of advise the company as an employer. But, you know, going forward, she is saying that there have been some changes already when it comes to recruitment. But she does say that at the moment, there's nothing that allows companies to mandate their people to get vaccinated. So that's been it on the other side of this. We continue with this topic around, you know, vaccinations in the workplace. Where are we? Where are we going to go? What's likely going to happen? Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
We are talking about vaccinations in the workplace. You know, are we going to find ourselves having to carry around certification just to be allowed the opportunity to gain employment in corporate South Africa? And you can let us know your thoughts on Facebook. We are Via FM or Voice of Vits. Our other Facebook page is the Vits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at Via FM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. Well, we heard from an HR expert before the break, but right now we want to talk to, you know, a legal expert. So on the line we are joined by Oritonda Rambuda, who is an attorney at Rambuda and Associates, to hear about, you know, things from a legal point of view. Oritonda, greetings to you.
Hi, how are you?
Now, doing all right on this end. I think, you know, a good place for us to start is perhaps, you know, getting a sense from you, because we heard, you know, from an HR point of view before the break. Are we, you know, likely to be in a situation where employers can, you know, force their employees to carry around some type of a certification to say that they've had a COVID-19 vaccine?
Okay, at the moment in South Africa, there is no law that says employers can force employees to take the vaccine. So unless there is a law, forcing employees to take the vaccine will kind of be illegal.
And I guess from that point of view, then, when it comes to, you know, everything that's actually happening right now, and in the corporate sense, when it comes to someone like you, where do you guys sort of place yourselves as lawyers in terms of just making sure that employees and their rights are protected?
Okay, so with regards to that, there are some certain laws that already are in place which protect the employees against forced vaccinations. I don't know if you'd like for me to go through them or to just give you a brief about them.
No, yes, a brief, just at least so that we can have some understanding, yes.
Okay, so I'll just give you some few ones. There is Employment Equity Act, which talks about medical testing. So according to this act, it says that medical testing of employees in the workplace is prohibited, as permitted by legislation or justified by any medical facts. There's also National Health Act, which talks about consent. So if an employee has to be given some medical attention, they have to consent to it. There's also the Protection of Personal Information Act, which says that employees' health information can only be accessed by employers in only limited circumstances, which will be, for example, where the employee themselves, they give consent for that medical information to be accessed by their employer.
You know, as you're talking, it's becoming quite clear that, you know, as you said in the beginning, some of these laws don't, you know, necessarily exist. But as someone who is in the legal profession, could you maybe give us some insight into some of the legal cases that have, you know, started popping up as a result of COVID-19, whether we're talking about issues of sick leave, whether we're talking about unfair dismissals, because, you know, COVID-19 is new to everyone, and, you know, what's fair and not fair, you know, sometimes it's a bit hard, you know, for people to understand.
So you see, the most common problems that the employees are facing is that their leave days are getting used up. And then when the leave days get used up, the companies refuse to give them paid leave. So they have to use unpaid leave or take other forms of leave, which is family responsibility or annual leave, unpaid ones. And then when it comes to dismissals, there have been a rise of dismissals, not necessarily dismissals, but mostly the retrenchment, which is in a situation where the employees are being dismissed based on operational reasons. And because the companies just want to survive the COVID, the financial crisis, they are failing to follow the laws that they have to follow. They are taking shortcuts, and by that, they are breaking the laws. And at the end, they dismiss the employees and not give the employees the packages that they are supposed to get in terms of the law.
And from that point of view, if people do find themselves in some of those common situations, like you have said, what rights, you know, does an employer have in such a situation? Because a lot of people, you know, once you're fired, they sort of just take it and leave. They don't really always know what rights they have available to them.
So in the event that the employee finds themselves in this unfortunate position, they can go to the CCMA, they can refer unfair dismissals there. They don't have to do it through a lawyer. They can just go to the CCMA offices themselves and then give them their version of the story. Then the CCMA will do all the necessary steps, which is to send a notice to the employer saying, okay, we have your employee, they're saying that you have dismissed them, so can we have a meeting between the two of you and hear your side of the story and decide upon hearing both parties' sides.
Now, I know you're not necessarily a lawmaker, but, you know, someone in the industry, as a follow-up to what you said just now about the leave days and then taking, you know, unpaid leave and all of these things that end up happening, do you anticipate that we might see a situation where government, you know, does something to, you know, give employees some type of recourse, because lawmaking processes tend to be, you know, a bit slow sometimes. So might we see the lawmakers coming to the table later on and saying, okay, guys, you know, all of those people who lost out on their leaves, we're just going to mandate that they get given, I don't know, 10, you know, working days back, just so that we can even out what happened during the crisis time?
It's possible. The labor laws are there to protect the rights and the interest of the employees, because generally the employers, as the other party, they always have an upper hand and more money to get legal advice and to get all the things that are needed on their side. So that's very much possible, that we might have some laws being amended that they cater for this current situation that we are facing.
And then finally, there is, you know, I guess related to what you've just said now, because of the recent vaccine rollout, some companies may begin trying to change their HR policies so that employees will only be allowed back once they've been vaccinated. But at the same time, you have people that don't yet trust the efficacy or the effectiveness of, you know, the vaccines, the so-called anti-vaxxers. What legal rights, you know, are we likely to have, you know, against things like that? Well, I guess keeping in mind that currently there are no laws that exist.
So the employees, they can refuse the vaccination if there is such a policy, because there is no law that says, okay, have to be vaccinated to be part of the nation. However, in such refusal, there might be some things that might arise. If there is a policy that says, okay, you will be forced to be vaccinated, that takes away that consent that I spoke about the first time. So whatever medical attention that the patient gives, they have to give consent. So that takes that away, which is now the forced one. So they can refuse taking the vaccination, the law allows them to do that. And then if the employer dismisses them or does whatever that they seem to be fit given that set of facts, then they can also refer the matter to the CCMA for the CCMA to adjudicate upon it.
Any other advice for employees, you know, or workers out there, you know, just given everything that we've spoken about, whether it's about the vaccine, leave days, or some of the unfair dismissals that you referred to earlier on?
To the employees, it's always wiser to them to know about the labor laws and their employer's policies. Because unless they know of such, they will not be aware if their rights are being violated or not. So they need to take it upon themselves to educate themselves about the things, the laws and the policies that their employers have, so that they will be aware that, okay, now the law says this, and this is the opposite of that is happening here. So this is violation of my rights.
So that's been us with Oritonda Rambuda, who is an attorney, giving us some insight into, you know, the legal aspects of the vaccination debate. She's saying that education is going to be the key because there are a number of issues around COVID-19. Right now we're talking about the vaccine, but she's also highlighted the fact that we've seen unfair dismissals, people losing out on leave because they've happened to get sick, and all of these issues, and she's urging people to go and familiarize themselves with the labor law so that they can be protected going forward. Whether or not we're going to see legislation around the vaccinations remains to be seen, as she says. On the other side of this, we come to the end of the show.
The Business Buzz.
And with that, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. Thank you to our guests. I think one of the big messages that's coming through, you know, on two fronts is the fact that education is a big message that is being proposed by, you know, both guests from an HR point of view and a legal point of view. Go out, learn what the company policies are, familiarize yourself with legislation so that you can protect yourself and that you can't get taken advantage of. Where things are going in terms of vaccinations themselves, at the moment, no one, at least in South Africa, there's no legal basis for it. But it's very... I'm going to call it within the realm of possibility, you know, that we're going to find ourselves in situations where you do need to carry around some type of certification to say that you have been vaccinated. Earlier on, I spoke about traveling to countries in places like East Africa. You know, you can't get onto the flight, you know, from South Africa without proving that you have a yellow fever vaccine, for example, right? And where it comes to COVID-19, something that is affecting the entire world, it is realistic to expect that employers, organizations, schools, you know, places of dining, restaurants, etc., are going to start expecting that type of thing going on. In what form it's going to be in remains to be seen. Is it going to be a nice looking yellow card? Is it going to be, you know, an implanted chip for all the conspiracy theorists out there? Or is it going to simply be just a small, you know, metal ID that shows that you've had the vaccination? In whatever form it is, it's likely to be something that we're realistically going to see. But we're keen to hear what you think. On Facebook, we have our VFM or Voice of Vits. Our other Facebook page is Vits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VFM. And then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. Let us know what you think. Have you been vaccinated? Do you want to be vaccinated? Would you carry around some type of certification? You can also stream us live. That's VFM.co.za. And remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz Show are available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. Otherwise, you can find us on the major platforms, that is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, together with the Google Podcasts. So that's been it, and we've come to the end of the team. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kutlwano Serame, together with our executive producer, Gloria Mabuza. Thank you to our amazing team that also includes our producers, that is Lindy Lemusibi, Tando Timba, together with you know, a new member to the team, that is Siyabonga Mota. Welcome to the team. And yeah, so that's been it for today. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Don't turn that dial. There's more great content coming up on the VAL FM lineup. So for myself, Mdio Mob, Justice Kabaza, and the rest of the team, it is take care.
The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mokjustice Kabaza. The Business Buzz Podcast.